Welcome to session number 9. It's just so great to walk this journey together, and especially with the Holy Spirit. He just is so faithful. You know, I have to confess, even as I'm working through these things and setting it up and taking lots of hours with all the slides and all the stuff, sure, the Lord is just reminding me a lot of how he wants to heal me and bring that just freedom which Christ died for. You know, we always work in progress. We always just surrendering. And so what we've been doing in the last couple of sessions, specifically talking about letting go of your past, we look at the father wound for 3 sessions. And then in session 8, we started to looking at the letting go of your past. And so we looked at being real and honest, the fact that Jesus came to set the captives free and restore us, that we knew in Christ, that we have a perfect and loving Father, and that we must deal with the issues in our hearts. And then we looked at unresolved issues and identity crisis. And in this session, we're going to look at understanding grace and the power of forgiveness. And how does that work? And how do we walk in this freedom of extending forgiveness and releasing other people? And so it is so important that whatever we discuss and when we deal with these things, that we don't do it alone. Do it with the Lord. Pray through these issues with the Lord. And then also find a family. You know, God has put in families a place of restoration. He wants to heal us. And it takes a lot of guts, a lot of confidence, and a lot of vulnerability and transparency when we start to pray with friends through this. Because 1 John 1 verse 7 to 9 says that if we confess our sins to one another, if we bring things into the light, there's such a power. And so we're going to look at these principles a little bit later. But so let's just understand grace, because it's so important that we realize and say it's not about being perfect. It's not about reaching perfection. It's about surrendering to God's holiness. It's much different. You know, grace is an enablement or an empowerment to do his will and to walk in his righteousness. It's almost like the petrol in the petrol tank of your car. Without it, you can't go anywhere. It's God's enablement. It's not a ticket not to do or to do sin anymore and then just say, oh, grace, grace, grace. No, it's simply an empowerment. It's God's ability that he gives us to walk in. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, Paul writes this way. God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, there's a difference between sin and weakness. Sin, we need to repent of. But weakness is that stuff that we're not good at. You know, I said in the last session, I'm not good at conflict and confrontation. You know, I'm not good at managing that because I'm a motivator. I want people to be happy. I want people to like me, you know. And so I need to regularly check and have proper boundaries that I'm more have the fear of God in my life than what I fear people, because I've got a weakness. I want people to like me and say nice stuff about sometimes what I wear or how I look. And, you know, and so it's so important that we build in almost defaults into our lives where we can go to a new ways of thinking, new ways of doing things. Because especially if you have a background of your past of just like always going for the affection or the affirmation, then hey, now we need to take those things to God, because we have a need for affirmation. We have a need for affection. We have a need to be loved, to be accepted, but we have to find it from our perfect Father first. So the step, how do I step into grace, is firstly acknowledging your wound and your need for healing. We said that in the previous session as well. Hey, be real, be vulnerable, open up. You know, I walked around with one issue in my life for a long time. And I always thought like, no, there's no way that I'm going to share this. You know, we always have this lie in our hearts, in our minds sometimes. And I know I remember in the small group, we were together in the small group for 1.5 years. So we thought like we really had good friends. And then we just had one night of confession. A new guy came in and he just confessed. He just like, you know, brought everything out. And then one after the other, everyone in the small group started to share, yo, we're struggling with lust, we're struggling with this, we're struggling with this, we're struggling. And we were so shocked because everyone in the small group thought like, oh, that guy is so perfect. You know, he's the sound guy of the church and he's a zone leader and he's got this position in church. So obviously we felt so intimidated by our spirituality. And that's sometimes hypocrisy is when we pretend to be or when we like feel inferior or superior to other people. But hey, everyone has got challenges and God is not looking for perfection. So then the second thing there is be specific about the wound. Don't beat around the bush. Say, look, I'm struggling with this. This is what's happened. I've been very, very negatively affected in the way that I think about myself. I feel inferior to other people, or I always want to dominate other people, you know, and then name the unfulfilled need. It's so important that you realize, like, if it was a need for acceptance, that you can, that you're specific and real about it and realize I'm not rejecting that need. I'm actually saying, Lord, I bring it to you, and ask your friends to pray for you in those areas. Don't be a great pretender. I used to be a great pretender, but I became so religious. It was just a miserable life, you know, because you have to keep other people happy all the time. And you have to pretend so much. But it's in that brokenness, in that vulnerability, that God's grace just kicks in our weakness. And that's why we need to understand grace. It's almost like God says, hey, I want you to walk in this fullness. I want to release you. I want to give you the ability to be free. But you know, our environment, and especially in church environment, is we become great pretenders. You know, there's a article I read, you know, where it said specifically, and we'll post the PDF file for you, where it says, hey, we're not supposed to be Jesus' PR servants and PR people, you know, because even the world sometimes look at the church and they realize like, you look like a bunch of hypocrites, you know, because hypocrisy is the one thing that keeps the world from the church. Because sometimes in church, we want to pretend that we're all together. But when we're just open about what we struggle with, even in front of unbelievers, don't try to have this big standard. Just say, look here, I really struggle with this. Then God gets the glory, because then God heals, God saves, God. So be real about that. Obviously, we should not share stuff with other people that would make them stumble, especially young believers. But be open, be real about your need and your dependency on God. It will just make life so much easier for us. But hey, we live in the environment where it's difficult, because hey, you haven't seen people post on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. Hey, today is my most miserable day. I've got a terrible day. I burnt the food. I kicked the dog. I drove into another car. People don't share that stuff with other people, because hey, we live in a fake society today. Everyone wants to achieve this place of utopia, this great place, want to pretend that everything is together. You know, we even do it in church. We come to each other and say, how are you doing, brother? Oh, blessed. Never been so blessed, you know. I must tell you this story. It's quite a funny story. But one day I walked around the corner at a campsite, and obviously I'm the pastor. And so there's a guy standing at the Christian camp, and he's busy smoking. Now he's standing around the corner. He did not expect me to be there at all, you know. And so he gets the fright of his life. So what he does, now he's standing with the cigarette, and the next moment he's taking the cigarette and he's like, you know, this flash drive, he's taking the cigarette and he throws it in his top pocket, you know. And so I realized like, now the cigarette still has a lot to go. And so I look at him and I look at the cigarette and I say, you're going to burn your pocket, you know? And he says, with what? I said, with the cigarette. He says, there's no cigarette, you know? And now what happens is the cigarette begins to burn a hole through the pocket, and the smoke is coming outside of the pocket, and there's like a brown hole coming in there. But he completely denies that there's a cigarette. I say, can I take it out for you? So we're having this conversation while the smoke is coming up, and he's in complete denial. And I walked away and I thought like, wow, sometimes we're so scared to say what we struggle with. You know, like this guy with the secret. We do exactly the same with God. We're like, hey, God comes close. Says, there's no problem here, God. I'm going to fix myself. You know, there's no smoking problem here. Meantime, God probably tells the angels, oh, there he goes again, you know. Instead of just coming to me and getting grace for it, now he's going to try in his own strength. And so honesty, realness, grace is so important. The next thing we're talking about, once we've acknowledged his grace is forgiveness. You know, in Matthew 18, he talks about this. It says, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. One of the biggest roots of bitterness and destruction in our lives is unforgiveness. And this is in the context of the master forgiving his servant, and then the servant goes out and he didn't forgive his servant. So God says, in the light of what Jesus has done, I want you to forgive. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. And the reason why God is so strong on forgiveness is because he knows how he takes us captive. And he says, well, if you're going to violate my principles of forgiveness and you're going to stay with unforgiveness in your heart, then you're going to be handed over to the tormentors. That word for tormentors is evil spirits. Lots of people are being tormented by demon spirits in their lives because of a deep-rooted unforgiveness. And so what is forgiveness? Forgiveness, and you'll see here on the slide, forgiving a person is not condoning the deed, but it's releasing the person from a debt. That person owes you something, and it's a big thing that they owe you. But now you have the ability to forgive them that debt. You have the ability to set them free. You know, it's a choice of your will. It's not about feeling or emotion. It's not about feeling that you've forgiven him. It's a choice you make. Yeah. And so it's a process because healing comes with it. And Jesus said we have to forgive 70 times, 7 times, because he knew how we struggle, you know. And so what about trust? What about forgetting? Doesn't mean if I've forgiven somebody that I forget about it. No, it's just I'm not wounded anymore. You know, here on my hand, I have a scar because what happened when I was 7 years old, I was on the farm and I tried to catch the piglets from the mother pig, and the mother pig got angry and she bit me and tore all the flesh off my hand, and there's a massive scar, you know, so I had to get healing and restoration. And so today I see the scar, but when I touch it, it's not there's not a wound there. There's no more pain, you know, and that's how God wants us to deal with our issues. Sometimes we're going to forget, but most of the time we're not going to forget when we're forgiven. But the pain is taken away, the anger, the bitterness, the frustration, the unforgiveness, all that stuff that flows out of that is taken away. So that when somebody touches there, you can talk about it freely. There's no more pain that you register. Why? Because Jesus healed you. And so does it mean we automatically have to trust that person again? No, trust will take a long time. And sometimes some relationships we have to cut out of our lives because it's toxic, it's destructive. So part of then is, how do I forgive from the heart? You know, firstly, you have to have a godly perception and perspective of the offender. You know, you have to let go of those expectations that you have. Maybe it's your father or your mother or somebody very close to you that's hurt you. You have to let go of the expectations, because sometimes we have this expectation. We have a need for affirmation from them. We have a need for recognition or identity. And so we have to change our expectation and the debt. So we forgive the debt and the debtor. We're going to talk about that again. So we forgive immediately and continuously. Firstly, by starting to acknowledge the hardness of our heart, and then verbally, audibly confess forgiveness. And then you extend mercy to that person in the light of what Jesus has given you. You know, it's in the light of what he's done. You cannot forgive others once you have not realized how much he's forgiven you. Well, because he prayed that prayer, Father, forgive them. Forgive us, because he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, I was supposed to hang on that cross. You were supposed to hang on that cross. So forgiveness happens in the shadow of the cross of Christ, where you stand under the cross and you begin to face that person, because the forgiveness of Christ washes over you, and now you release them. Because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's tough, because we feel like, yo, I'm not even human anymore because of the pain and the abuse that people have caused us. The third thing, and this is the tough one, is to pray blessing over the offender. And then even to do acts of kindness towards that person. Sure, that's really tough, because, hey, that guy owes me a debt. But remember, we're canceling the debt. We're saying no more. We want freedom for us. And the amazing thing is, I have the ability to also release this other person. I can set them free. I have the ability to let them go of everything that they owe me, everything that they indebted to me. I'm going to let them go. Because if I don't, I actually become indebted to them. Because now there's this thing, there's a transaction that has not happened, you know. And then for the rest of my life, I'm going to build my life around what that person owes me and eventually what I owe them. And so, you know, if you have somebody, and once in my life, I had a lot of people that I owed a lot of money to. You walk around with so much tension because you're thinking all the time, how can I repay? How can I repay? And the other person that, you know, they just is like, how am I going to get my money back? How am I going to get this back? Because I've got this need, you know. And that's why I have to take the need to God. The next slide talks about covenant-based communication, forgiveness. How do we do that? You know, we only give what we have received. I've already spoken about that. We're just taking a bit of a different angle. You have to forgive the debtor and then the debt as well. You have to let them go, you know. And then this is the tough one. You have to give up the rights of vengeance. No more judgment. No more payback. I remove myself from the judgment seat. And part of this is we're going to attach a PDF of what we do in the F3 that also talks about forgiveness that you can read through. Just what are some of the processes we have to walk through? Because it's not always immediate. Sometimes it takes a bit of a process. Sometimes there's stuff, words, vows, things people have spoken over us that we have to go and say, no, I reject those words that I'm a nobody. I will never make it. I'm never going to amount to anything, you know. So sometimes it's an event. It starts with an event, but then there's a process. Just like our salvation, a process of working out and releasing. And sometimes, hey, just going through issues and words and things people have spoken. But be specific. Acknowledge your reality, your pain, your anger. Sure. And forgive and choose to walk into a process where eventually you will forget, you know. Pray then blessing, release, and grace over that person. Because remember, it's a gift you can give them. If somebody owes you so much money and you have enough and you can let go and you just say to that person, sure, you owe me nothing. It is actually so blessed to give something to somebody. And you have this ability because God has given you the grace. First in your life because you've received that forgiveness, but now in the life to release it to other people. And that is a gift that you can give. But you can be selfish and say, no, I'm going to let this person repay me. I'm going to hang in there for life. But we can't, because that forgiveness is what we've received. And remember, we don't want a curse to run down to the next generation. And that's such good news when it comes to forgiveness and breaking the curses over our lives, is you can stop the bleeding in your family. You can stop it now. You can reverse the curse. You can be the first one, the firstborn, to say, hey, it's going to stop here. You know, I want to just testify in my own life. I realize, you know, my great-grandfather, I inherited his names, and he was an evangelist. He would go from farm to farm, weekend to weekend, and he would preach the gospel, you know. He would share the love of Christ with other people, you know. And my great-grandfather hardened his heart, and so then there was just like a curse of negativity coming through. But today, I'm so much indebted to my great-grandfather who followed God, because I know today that I can pick up his legacy. It skipped two generations because of lots of reasons, lots of negativity. Just sometimes people just don't know how to cope, how to bless, how to release. And especially if you don't know God, you are going to hurt people because you have no moral authority. You have no place from where you live. And so my grandfather, my own father, you know, were just trapped in negativity of rejection and cycles of those things and fear of failure. When I met Jesus, I said yes to him being my perfect father. And then he started to restore me in so many ways. And I'm still under construction. But the most amazing thing is I realized, like, I have a legacy that I received from my great-grandfather to preach the gospel. And he's sort of set a platform there for me to continue on. And I'm so excited about that because, wow, I realized that even now through my children and through up to the 10th generation, they can be blessed because I serve God. And you have this choice now. You have the rest of your life to follow God wholeheartedly and to break that curse. But it starts with this deep sense of forgiveness, letting go of the past, letting go. And so practically, task number 8, what are we going to do? First, take communion and ask the Lord to show you how much he has forgiven you. I can't release others if I don't know how much Jesus paid for me. That's where it starts. Then the second one is a tough one, is write a letter of forgiveness and sharing your feelings to especially your earthly father. Now, you don't need to give this to him. If you can, do it if he still lives. But write that letter as if he's in front of you. I remember doing that just in my third year when I was a student. I started writing the letter. I went halfway through the page and I just started to weep uncontrollably. I messed up the whole paper. Then I started again. I wrote the next letter again. I got 3/4 of the page. Then I just wept again. I just broke and I just tore it up. I got so angry and I threw it away and then I started again, you know. And the third time I couldn't get to the finish the page, you know, and it took me the first, I remember, 3 hours, and I finished one page and then I went to the next page and I just said, hey, I just forgive you. I just wrote this letter, you know, and it just set me free completely. Sometimes it's good to do an action, you know, to do something physical. Sometimes I take young guys up onto the mountain and I let them take a big stone and throw it down the stone and say, hey, that's a symbolic thing. Sometimes you have to do something symbolic of letting stuff go, you know. Going out to nature is a great place to do that. And maybe if you have confidence, take that letter and read it in front of your friends and just say, hey, pray with me. Because if you have the liberty, give it to your parents or to the people, your guardians, the people that have maybe hurt you, because it's just, we have to let that process of confession happen in our life. We have to set them free, and it must be verbal, and that's where it starts. And so I want to just give you an example of a prayer or a letter that you can write, just to give you sort of a broad spectrum in which you can do that. And there's an example of that in your slide, and it's quite the words have been written quite small, but the first part is where you write to your own father. Dear father, I had a great expectation that you would fulfill this and this in my life. Maybe it's affection, affirmation, that there's certain areas where you neglected or abused, and because of your neglect of your father responsibilities or abuse of this, of what you have done, I've suffered great hurt and pain. This has caused great wounds of maybe rejection or whatever you've identified cycles in your life. And I constantly struggle with patterns of this in my life. So there, that just that between that dots, you can fall in a lot of stuff. So roots, fruits, expectations, hurts. These are the things we can write in that type of letter. And then starts the forgiveness part. Today, I choose to forgive you of all the abuse and neglect that I've suffered. Today, I choose to walk in the grace and forgiveness of God towards you. I cannot do it on my own strength. I choose to forgive and release you from all the debt that you owe me in the same manner as Jesus forgave me. Today, I choose to release you from any unrealistic expectations and demands. I realize you are only a human being and I therefore look to God as my perfect Father. And then you have to take authority. I take authority over any generational curse and break any ungodly soul ties and thoughts over my life. I choose no longer to believe in the lies. And there you can write all lies about what you believe about yourself, about who I am and about my identity. And then you turn to God. Thank you, God, that I can trust you wholeheartedly, and I surrender all my pain, wounds, hurts to you. I surrender to your unconditional love. I choose to follow and trust you for the rest of my life. Now, you can write your own words in there, but this is just an example of a typical prayer, and it can be 10 pages long, of how we can start to engage, you know, to start to walk this road of being under construction, not perfect, but say, Lord, I want to be free from pain. I want to be free from this bitterness. I want to let go of the past. And some things, some fruits you need to repent of, forgiveness and repentance. And some things you need to renounce, you need to lay it off. You know, say, I stop with these habits. I stop with these thinking patterns. You need to part from those things, like Moses walked through the Red Sea and you know, and just said, we're going away. Egypt is broken. The past is broken. We're going to go into the promised land. You know, so I want to pray for this grace, this ability to forgive, this ability to embark on this process And and the Holy Spirit is going to do it with you. He's going to heal your wounds. He's going to bind up, and he wants to be a father to the fatherless. So let me pray for you. Let me trust with you, because there's some homework here, and it's going to take you time, but take your time. Let it be a process. Don't just think it's once off and then it's gone. Maybe God will open up. And like he's already started with the groups that I've been dealing through, a couple of things, you know, a couple of areas he's been working in our hearts, and take your time. Sometimes go back to some of these sessions, go and listen to them again and say, Lord, highlight to me, because I just had to go through a lot of issues. I had to repent. I had to like forgive certain people. I realized sometimes I get offended with people, and these people hurt me, and they said this stuff about me, even as I just worked through this, because hey, we're all under construction. So let me pray for you that the Lord will set you free, because hey, it's for freedom that Christ has come to set us free, not just to get to heaven, but to live in his Zoe abundant life. And let's restore that old path. So Father, yo, today we're coming to you, Father, and we realize that sometimes we're just wounded and we struggle to forgive. We struggle to release. But Lord, there's some people that owe us so much debt, so many years, so many stuff, Lord. But Lord, today we choose to say yes to your grace and to your presence in our lives. Today we say yes to your forgiveness. Lord, especially when it comes to the father wound, abuse, neglect. Come and heal our wounds. Come and be the balm of Gilead. Come and set the captives free. Lord, we're captive. We've been taken captive by our culture, by our personalities, by our family structure sometimes. Lord, and sure, when we look to that, we're afraid. But when we look to you, we're not. Because your unconditional love, Lord, will set us free. And we thank you that your perfect love cast out every fear. Lord, send your perfect love like a tsunami into our hearts today, so that we can walk in your freedom, walk in your forgiveness, walk in your release and in your grace. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, the Lord loves you and he's proud of you. And he's not going to love you more if you tomorrow when you sort it out more. He already loves you unconditionally.